Well, good morning, CDK. Good to have you here as we share together in worship. And yes, as Kevin mentioned, love to have you out on Wednesday night. What an incredible season in the life of this church as we seek to take some bold moves in our community, reaching people far from God, living out the mission God's called us to be in very real and tangible ways. Can't wait to have you here. In fact, through this summer, we're going to be talking about this relentless God who pursues us, impacts our lives in very real, tangible ways. God is not far away. He's right here in the midst of our lives. And today we want to dive into that series, brand new through the summer, to really think about who this God is and how he becomes powerful and impactful in your life and in mine. Anyone in the room feel some weight of responsibility? Yeah, it kind of happens, doesn't it? And you've got the most weight. Now, I've seen your family. No, just kidding. You're an amazing mom. You know, and moms particularly, it can feel some weight. Dads, you can feel some weight. You know, you probably have some times when you just kind of want to go, man, I don't know how it's all going to come together. Anybody felt some pressure of that? I'm not sure how we're going to get all the bills paid, man. I'm not sure how this next job's going to go. Man, I'm not sure how my kids are going to turn out okay. You know, we feel some of that weight. But you know, there's a couple sides of this equation. Every one of us in the room benefit from other people impacting our lives and helping us through this human life that we have all the time. We have people that are mentors, caretakers. We can call them all shepherds. They speak into our life. They help our life. They impact our lives in pretty significant ways. At the same time, we can turn it around. Every one of you in the room adds value to another life. Okay, every one of you in the room adds value to another life. This is not an age thing. Whatever age you're in, you add value to another life. You just have to stop for a moment and assess what that value is. Now, sometimes when we're in the midst of life, we're adding value, receiving value from other people. Things can get a little bit heavy. Okay, you've had times you've probably felt like, man, who am I? The answer man? You know, you're kind of like, man, you think I can read your mind? You know, man, I am dead tired. I don't know how I'm going to take another step, how I'm going to keep going, how I'm going to balance all the things that are required of me. You know, life can just get a little bit heavy. I'm uncertain what the next steps are going to be or what it is. You know, it's just sometimes we just want to throw our hands up and go, let me check out for a little bit. But what's the reality? We don't get to check out because God put us on this earth. Welcome to the human race, okay? It's a race. You know, we're living it every day and life keeps happening. We don't get to check out. We might go on vacation or whatever. We might get to slow down a pace from time to time. But guess what? Life keeps rolling. And the moment we think we got it figured out, the moment we think everything's fine, it's homeostasis, and we're on a cruise, something changes, and we're trying to find the next answer, or we're trying to find the next amount of energy. We're trying to be able to find the next step. We want to make the next best decision. In fact, teens, you can experience it too. Life can get a little bit challenging, can it? You know, how am I gonna have the right friends? What are they gonna expect of me? You know, am I gonna honor my parents when they want me to be this way, but I can't have these friends because they want me to do this? How am I gonna not compromise when everybody's saying don't, but the world's saying do? Life can get heavy, and it can get a little bit stressful. The question is this: how do we live that life and come out standing firm? Come out feeling refreshed and not fried. Wouldn't you like that? Being able to live that journey and add value in the midst of life and receive value in the midst of life and not feel like you've been pressed down to the basis. You know, what if I told you today you can? That God actually has an answer for you and me in this life. That he didn't put us here to live a life that feels like a rat race. He didn't put us here to live a life by which we're shepherds and caretakers of others, but we're feeling burned out and fried and troubled and not sure where the next answer or getting up each morning, not having the next energy to get out of bed. That's not the life that God has for us. He came that you may have life and have it abundantly, as we talked about in the last series. This series we want to start today. is about breathing into you the life that God wants you to have. And this life is going to start off with a very key understanding of how we right-size God. Because see, there was a man in the Bible, and his name was David. And he lived the life that we live. It was a human life. And he struggled in the midst of life, and life got heavy. He was a king in the nation of Israel, the king of Israel, back 900 years before Christ. In his life, there was a lot of struggle and a lot of pain. There was hardly a day going by that someone wasn't wanting to take his life. As a ruler of the nation, there was hardly a day that went by that some monarchy or kingship or other tribe wasn't wanting to destroy his own land and his own country. A lot of weight. In fact, in his day, monarchs and kings were considered shepherds of the people. They had a high responsibility to take care of the economic affairs of the people. They had a responsibility to keep the nation moving unified, to protect the nation from warring armies and warring people. And not only that, to take care of his family. David had over 20 children. Anybody got him beat out there? I want to meet you. And let me tell you, if you read about the children of David, that was one dysfunctional family. Okay, so here he is waking up every day. Man, God, I can't even get my family right. It's hard to get the nation right. Here, everybody's wanting to go against you, God. What are we to do? And yet David stood firm, noted in history as a man after God's heart. And a man who could stand strong in the midst of all the brokenness in his life, and even his own brokenness. Believe me, he had many sins of pride, and arrogance, and lust. And in the Bible, those sins within David reared their head. And you can read about them in the wide open. And yet, through it all, he understood a God who was big enough, loving enough, powerful enough, and right-sized enough to make all the other pressures be downsized. Because God was right-sized. So today I want to give you 5 words that are right-sized God in your life. These words don't come from me. They came out of the heart of David when he wrote a song. Because he was a worship leader. And worship leaders love to write songs about how God is moving in their life and who God is in their life. And David wrote a song, and that song is Song 23. It's the most well-known psalm in all the scriptures. And for about every Christian, some 3 billion of them in the world, those 5 words, "The Lord is my shepherd." Say that with me. The Lord is my shepherd. Say it again. The Lord is my shepherd. Those 5 words exhibited the right size of God in David's life. Those 5 words became the foundation for everything else that David would be, become, and stand for and write about in all the scriptures. So what I want us to do, we walk out of here today, is have a right-sized God that will allow everything else and the pressures of the world to be downsized in the place that they should be, that we might live in the grace and the power of this amazing God as we go forward. You ready? So let's take these 5 words, and I want to give you 4 keys to how they become real in your life and mine. And these are things that I've experienced, and certainly the things that we see in the life of David. These 4 things that I want you to grab are these. God is a powerful God. God is a now God. God is a personal God. And God is a shepherd God. Now let's take a look at the first one. God is a powerful God. When David writes the beginning of Psalm 23, he starts off with that fact. The Lord. Okay? Say it with me. The Lord. When you say those words, there's more there than we're thinking or imagining. See, many times when we read scripture or we say words, we just sweep across them like they're small words, but they're huge. When David made the statement at the beginning of this psalm and everything that would come after, he was stating a very fact about the right size of God in his life. And it starts with the word thee. This is not a God, it's the God. You see, David knew that the world around him, all these other kingdoms, all these other monarchs, and even the people in the nation of Israel worshipped many gods, little gods. And he knew that they would create whatever god they needed to create for their life. That's what we do as human beings. See, we're created in the image of God, so guess what we like to do? We like to create. We like to create our own fantasies. Anybody lived in that world? Yeah. We like to create our own solutions. We like to create our own problems. And we like to create our own gods. Because we like to create God in our own likeness. That's the challenge. We like to put things over us that we create that we believe might give us power and authority that might help us in our day. So we might create this little mini God that we want to follow, that we want to put all of our time and energy into, that we want to trust and hold on to, because we believe that little God will make our lives better. But David is saying, the God. David understands that all the little gods that all these other nations are worshiping, the god of the sun god or the god of the fertility god or whatever they need. We need crops. We'll create us a god. We need healing. We'll create us a god. David knew there's only one God. He is the God. And the God has a name. His name is Yahweh, which means he's the creator God. So right now, David was saying, there's a God that is more powerful than me. There's a God that I can trust, that I can call on at any moment. And his name is Yahweh. He's given us his name. I call him the Lord because he's a master and Lord over everything. It's interesting, in the Old Testament, they would hardly say the name Yahweh. Because it was so holy. And if you wrote the name Yahweh, you had to throw away the pen because it was believed to be so holy. But here, David boldly speaks the name of God, Yahweh. The Lord is my shepherd. God is my shepherd. And what would that mean for David? It would mean that this God, the Lord, is the creator of everything. He creates everything, but yet he was not created. He made everything, but yet no one made him. He causes everything, but he is not caused by any of them. He's unchangeable. When everything else is changing, when David's family is falling apart, he is an unchangeable God. When all the situations are changing in the world and he's having to have new military tactics to figure out how to protect the land, God was an unchanging God. God, and he's a powerful God. When David was scared to death about the next thing coming down the pike, God's not scared. God can sit in the midst of the ocean and the sea and see it troubling and sleep peacefully, as we know in the New Testament with Jesus, because he's the God over tornadoes and hurricanes and weather. You see, we might be defied by gravity, but God's not. He can move freely anywhere and everywhere, at any speed, at any time. Because God's not restricted to human flesh and human body, because God is spirit. David understood that. He understood the right-sized God, that God is powerful to come in to David's life and move mountains, not because of David's ability or him as the shepherd, but because God was his shepherd. That's a powerful God. And David understood that. He also writes in Psalm 90, verse 2, these words. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. That's who God is for you and me. The first thing we have to do before we can deal with anything else is right-size God. Interesting, he also writes in Psalm 139, he says, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. In essence, from the highest to the lowest, You are there. I can't escape you because you are what? God. You're the creator of everything. Well-known author and preacher Max Lucado writes, he says this, "Counselors can comfort you in a storm, but you need a God who can still the storm. Friends can hold your hand on the deathbed, but you need a Yahweh who defeated the grave. Philosophers can debate the meaning of life, but you need a God who gives meaning to your life." I don't know about you, but at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day, I need the God, the powerful God, to rule over my life, to be present in my life, so that when the storms come and the trials rage and the sin emerges, God is a powerful God to forgive and to right-size and to downsize everything else under His power and His authority. Now take all of that and think about what David says next. He says, "The Lord," what is the next word? "Is my shepherd." He's making a statement here that God is a now God. And we need to get that because many times we feel like God is far away or God is distant or God's not going to show up. But he's saying God is a now God. He didn't say the Lord was my shepherd or will be my shepherd. He says the Lord is. That means that David was saying that right now, right here today, I need a now God. You know, when emergencies are going in your life, you don't need God to show up sometime. You need God right now. You need him is. God is present right now in your life. And he wants to have power and grace in your life right now. God is not far away. He's never not on time. He is God. We're the ones that believe, hey, where is God? We're looking for that. But God is right here. And he is present to be in your life all the time. Now, many times we wrestle with the relevance of God. And why do we wrestle with the relevance of God? Because we don't feel like he's active in my life. Anybody watching the NBA Finals? Two of you? Maybe a couple more. Yeah, you know, I think the next game's today, right? Now, some of the greatest players on planet Earth are playing in these games. Do you agree? I mean, in fact, the economic engine that the NBA Finals are producing in America is huge, is it not? I think I saw somewhere where one of these guys gets paid $2 million a week. Anybody in here get $2 million a week? I want to talk to you after about our ministry center. Yeah. Now, greatness is playing this afternoon. But it's irrelevant to my life. Why is it irrelevant to my life? Because it doesn't impact me. Is entertainment. It's a mover and an economic driver in the entertainment industry of America and the world. But it doesn't affect my life. That greatness is there, but it's there. Many times we treat God in the same way. That God is out there in all his greatness, but it's irrelevant to my life. Because I'm plowing through life and it doesn't seem to matter from day to day whether God is present or not. Because I don't call on it. But that's not what David is saying. David's saying the Lord is my shepherd. He is relevant. He is powerful. He is moving. He is there in the deepest, darkest moment. He is there when I'm struggling with the nation. He is there when the battle plans are being drawn up. He is there when my guilt is rising up and he's forgiven me. He is there when my family's broken and struggling and killing each other. He is God. In fact, when Moses, who was raised up in Egypt, and he has escaped his calling, and he's in the wilderness, and God meets him in the burning bush, and he tells Moses, "Oh, no, you can't escape your calling. I want you to go back to Egypt, because I raised you to set the people of Israel free from captivity of Israel for these 400 years." And Moses is feeling pretty weak, and God's speaking to him out of the burning bush, and he says, "Well, who am I? Who am I to go to Pharaoh Ramses? Who am I to go to this great king, this great monarch, and say, 'Oh, just let the people go, please'? Who am I to do that? Who am I going to say sends me? By under what authority am I going to speak?" And God simply says, "Tell him I am send you." That's by what authority you speak. You see, God has already claimed the victory. You and I don't have to claim the victory. We're not working for victory. Victory's already happened. We're just working to be in alignment with the is now God. Amen? Are we going to speak the present now God into our lives, into our circumstances, into our being, into our struggles, into the present right now? That's what he's saying. So Moses goes and he speaks the now God who takes care of everything that happens along the way. "I am," God says, "because he is. He is present and he is with you right there all the time." Now we might wonder, how is that going to happen? How is that going to happen in your life and my life? You see, many times we put such authority with the physical. We give the physical more strength than the spiritual in our lives. When I was coaching runners for lots of years, often they were not limited by their physical ability. They were limited by what? Their mental, spiritual ability. It was a mind over matter thing. The body would respond to the direction of the soul and the spirit and the mind. How many of you are old still think like a 25-year-old? You know what I'm talking about. I'm not far behind you. Why is that? Because the spirit does not age. The body does. When you and I are feeling pressure, when we're shepherding, we're feeling the weight of the world as students, and you're feeling the weight of getting the exams done or being right with your friends or whatever the pressures are, those are not physical pressures. They're what? Spiritual pressures. But God is spirit. God is everywhere. And God comes in and God speaks to your soul. He speaks to your spirit. He speaks to your life because he created you in his spiritual image. And it's to that by which he's speaking. And we draw strength. That he is present all the time with you and me. He is a now God. And you can receive him now. But it doesn't even stop there. It doesn't stop there. God is a personal God. He says, "The Lord is" what? "My shepherd." Now, we can do the religion thing and we can believe, oh, God's out there somewhere. But it really does come down, as we talk about all the time, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not somebody else's relationship. What David is saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." There's a very personal side to this, which is critically important in how he's going to live. It changes everything in your life and my life. It changes everything in how we walk into this place in worship on a Sunday morning. Whenever I use the word "my God," it takes me back to a movie that is hard to get out of my head, Sister Act. Anybody see that? I know I'm dating myself. Whoopi Goldberg in that movie is you just laugh known as Whoopi Goldberg, right? In that movie, she's under protective custody because she is a witness, and she gets placed in a convent. And believe me, she's far from a nun in the movie. She gets placed in this convent, and she's hiding in this place. But while she's there, she begins to bring her radical worldly ways into the midst of this convent and into the midst of this church that is dying. As the pastor looks out on his church, there's three or four people there on a Sunday morning. No one's coming. And no one's coming because God was not relevant in their lives. She began to start with the nun choir, and she began to teach them songs, cultural songs, really, that begin to shift away in almost a postmodern kind of way, bringing in this popular song and putting God in it. And one of the famous ones in is, "Nothing Can Take Me Away From My Guy." She uses the word, "My God." And all of a sudden, everyone begins to get it. Something begins to change in their hearts through her movement in their lives. And it wasn't necessarily through the popular music. It was that it shifted. Wait a minute, God is personal. And this personal God began to awaken in their life. Wait a minute, God is powerful in my life. And when God became powerful in their lives, they began to go out of the church and they begin to impact the community in very real and tangible ways. And now God showed up. It wasn't God someday. It was God right now, because God became very personal. And God became very personal now to the entire community as they served the community out of this now God. And guess what happened? Every week, more people began to come in. Every week, the church began to look like the community around them, because God was a now God and God was a personal God. And everything changed because they right-sized God by the help of someone on the outside who actually got it. Jessica Humfield works for Campus Crusade for Christ, still does to this day. Jessica went to college, she writes in her testimony, and after her first week in college, she got word that her father had pancreatic cancer. During her first year of college, they battled that. She went home the next summer before her sophomore year and watched her father die. She writes, "I grew up in church. I thought I understood God, and I had God in this box that I would pull out and bring into my life whenever I needed him. And after that summer, when I went back to college, I took that box, I put God in it, and I threw it away. And I began to live the life that I believed that I needed to live to make things right in my life." So toward the end of my sophomore year, I woke up in a hospital room with IVs in me from alcoholic poisoning. I realized at that moment that the pressures on my life, I have no answers to. They've taken me down to the lowest level, and that's when she walked up and met someone from Campus Crusade for Christ. A crew member taught her about a very now and personal God. And her life changed forever. She began to learn how God was present in the midst of every struggle, every weight, every pain. That he has an answer and he has a power, because he's the God. To this day, she gives her life to helping others understand this now and personal God. Where's God in your life? Are things feeling enormously weighty? Because they're too big and God's too small? Because God's over here and he's not right here? That you're wondering when he's going to show up, when he's an is now God? But David doesn't end there even. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now think of the magnitude of the king, the greatest king on earth at that time, saying that. You see, David, as a kid, was a shepherd in real life. His family were shepherds. They kept sheep. In fact, when the prophet Samuel came out to visit his family and he was going to anoint the next king, he was looking through the lineage of all the brothers of David, and none of them were to be found. But here's David out keeping the sheep, doing what David did. David understood the role of the shepherd, and he understood the role of the sheep. For David to say, "The Lord is my shepherd," two things had to happen in David's life. One is humility. A swallowing of pride. if the Lord was going to be his shepherd, that means David had to be a what? A sheep. David had to humble himself before an authority greater than him, even though it is human as he was a great man, and say, I too am like a sheep that have wandered away and strayed. I too struggle with my sin and my brokenness, and I need a God big enough to forgive me and set my feet on a right path. I too struggle in the darkness of the night about who will harm me and what direction I need to take my family in this nation. I too am like a sheep. I need a Savior who can protect me and guard me and walk with me and show me the way. The Lord is my shepherd. That did not discount